I see your demons, I'm telling them it's on sight. I'm just playing, I don't fight, I do pray. I only go the way of Mr. Yahweh. Try to correct me.
So basically, I'm pumped.
I'm really pumped, man.
This individual has already trained one of our sister companies, and they absolutely loved your training. And we met you at the Moment Conference down in El Paso, Texas. Shout out, Ruben. Now we're doing business together. It's a full circle moment.
It is.
Everybody's doing business together. I love it. But I remember meeting you, and I was helping the event, and you were training, and I was like trying to help and take notes at the same time. Terrible notes. Nothing is organized. But I was like, whoa. And since then, we now introduce ourselves a little bit different, right? I'm a challenger, I'm a connector, and I'm a provider. How do you introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm a connector, I'm a initiator, and a provider.
Boom.
Boom.
So help us welcome Mr. Rocky.
Love Carter's. That. Love that. I feel like it's only, it only is pertinent that I say that I'm a challenger, truth teller, and trusted guide. I mean, I feel like I gotta join in.
Yeah,
it doesn't make sense. Otherwise, I'm a liar. So I appreciate you all. It's a pleasure to be spend some time.
I'm so excited that you're gonna be at our event. So I know you combined with the other powerhouses we have is like, I don't think people are ready. But what I love about you, and now I understand a little bit more about what you do in firsthand experience, but also because I'm getting closer to God. And the amount of grace that comes with following Christ. Mm. Now I understand what you mean when you tell people, you just like this, you're good.
That's right.
Like, you're great. You're unique. And I used to be like, man, that sounds like a bunch of, you know, like a lot of people say that, but they don't live by it.
That's right.
But then after they hear your talk, they get it and they live by it.
I think that's
very interesting.
Yeah, I think that's probably for me over the course of the last decade is one of the most... early on, I used to start every keynote by giving you like a 20-minute life spiel of my life story. No matter what the keynote was, like, I didn't know how to start without being like, I was born on May 5th, 1983. And I would literally start that way. And I would walk you through, you know, a 15-minute synopsis of my birth up until wherever I was at that point. And I think it was because I always felt this need. And then I think it goes to what you were saying. We go to conferences. We hear certain things. We're like, I don't know about that. It's because I was going in all these corporate spaces. I'm a Zillow and Grant Thornton and Deloitte and Blue Cross Blue Shield. I'm with all these major Fortune 100 companies talking to their teams at these conferences. And I'm looking like at myself and I'm like, yo, I don't have a resume. I've never had a resume. I've never had a W-2 job. I don't even know, like, how did I get here? And I don't have any qualifications to be here. So the only thing I have is my life. The only thing I have is my story. So if I can share that with you up front, then maybe, just maybe, you'll believe me when I get to the part to say, listen, I'm telling you, who you are is good. Right here, right now, no working of your hands, no your feet, no accomplishments. Who you are is worthy and valuable. I think it's taken me, I would probably say decade on the short end, you know, 15, 22 decades on the long end to go, I no longer have to start my keynote with my life story because I already have the invitation in my pocket. And when I walk up on stage now, I always put my right hand in my pocket right before I go on stage. It's like a habit. And I pretend that there's an invitation in my pocket. That when I get on stage, I don't have to prove to you why I deserve to be here because I've already been invited to the party. It's my job to show up to the party. And so I think my hope in my ability to get on stage and do that now is the people in the audience to go, you've already been invited. You already have an invitation to the party. I just need you to show up to the party. Most of us don't show up to the party though because we spend a decade, two, three, four, or five trying to earn our right into the front door. And most of us are in the middle of the party right now. Your current life right now is where it's at. And we lose sight of that because we're trying to earn the right to show up to a life we've already been given.
And we're done.
Hold on. Processing. Earn the right to the life that we've given? We have been given.
That's right. Earn the right to show up to the life you've already been given. Most of us spend the majority of our time practicing over and over and over. What can I do? What can I do? What can I do? And here's what happens. We either spend the majority of our time thinking about the past and we go, I wish I could change everything that I've done. And we go, why? Don't know. It just doesn't feel right. Okay. Or we spend the majority of our time thinking about the things we're supposed to do tomorrow so we don't mess it up. And now 80% of our present window is lost to what you cannot change and what you cannot control. And we wonder why we don't get the life that we want.
Love it.
It's because we spend no time right here, right now.
100%. So the message you're speaking is powerful, because I believe everyone at some moment in their lives, maybe currently, can relate to exactly that. I'm like the one that's always chasing, right? Past is the past to me, but I'm always the one thinking, how can I get there?
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about like your self-assurance of who you are was earned. I can tell that it was earned.
Talk to me. Was it earned? Because he just said most of us spend time trying to earn.
Great point.
To the party that we already, to the life that we already been given.
Let me rephrase that statement then. I can tell that there's been work put in by you to get the understanding you have and the clarity of where you're at now.
For sure.
Way different statement.
For sure.
I love it.
Talk to me about kind of developing that clarity and how you got there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I was born on May 5th, 1983. Okay. But I say that on purpose. Okay. I'm not going to take you back to birth, but we are going to go back a little bit. I'm a really firm believer in this is based on a human process and how we evolve, how we grow. I'm a really firm believer of whatever happens to us between the ages of 6 and 12 that we do to survive. And when I say survive, I don't mean life or death, unless that's your story. But whatever we do to get by is a very accurate description of how we operate as an adult, right? Because developmentally as a human, our life is broken in. If we go from 0 to 18, it's broken into 3-year sections and 6-year sections, depending on how you want to look at it. So we'll go 6 for easy math. We have 0 to 6, 6 to 12, 12 to 18, okay? 0 to 6 is typically referred to as the absorption phase. We're just absorbing life, right? I have a 5-year-old and I have an 8-year-old also. In the 0 to 6, they're just sponges, man. That's why it's so fun. We see all the TikToks of kids just repeating what their parents say, and they don't know what they're saying. They don't know what it means. They're literally just a sponge. We're just soaking things up. 6 to 12, however, we take everything that we've absorbed. Our brain gets full. There's nothing else to absorb yet. And the only way to replace things that we've absorbed is to take them to the world and test them. And what we define to be true, we hold on to. What doesn't work, we let go of, and we absorb something else.
Mm.
So I always come back to go, for me personally, to answer your question, and this is any of us can do this journey for ourselves. If we go to the space between 6 and 12, whatever you experience there, the truth that you formed about who you were, I could almost guarantee you is a part of the narrative that you tell yourself today about who you are, because you tested it to the world and it became true. So 6 to 12-year-old Rocky, I went to 13 schools before I graduated high school. Most of those were pre-7th grade. My mom's been married and divorced 5 times. I never lived with my dad growing up. My grandparents' house was always the home base where I came back to. Went to school in Louisville for half of kindergarten, went to school in Dallas for the rest of kindergarten, San Antonio for first and second grade, the other side of San Antonio for half of third grade, Farmers Branch for the rest of third grade, Carrollton for fourth grade, Louisville for fifth grade, Frisco for sixth grade, Farmers Branch for seventh grade, and I moved in with my grandparents at that point. My mom lived 4 streets away for the rest of the time while I was in high school. My senior year, I moved back in with my mom, and then she moved a month before I graduated high school, and I moved back in with my grandparents a month before I graduated high school. I don't tell you that. It's not a sad story. I'm 40, been through a lot of counseling. I'm feeling pretty good about myself, okay? However, what did Rocky learn between 6 and 12? You need to show up. You need to figure out friends really quickly. You don't know how long you're going to be here. You need a best friend tomorrow. You need a slumber party on the first Saturday, and use your words to outthink, outwit, outchoose, and outcharisma every person. Because if not, no one's going to see you, and no one's going to know you. And if you don't perform at the highest level, they might leave you, just like your dad did, just like your mom's husbands did, and just like your mom did every time she chose a job or a man over you. So you better be able to figure it out by yourself. Now, did I think that when I was 7? No, this is much later and tons of internal work. But I absolutely know that's how I was formed between the age of 6 and 12. Mm-hmm. So today at 40, like I think we're going to take a quick tangent. We'll come back. I think that's why, and I'm hopeful, and some of you are going to listen and think it's a silly metric, but it's the only metric I have, and I think it's really relevant to how we live on a daily basis. I get 3 to 5 messages a day on Instagram, literally every single day, without fail, of somebody who's like, hey, I watched all your content. I don't understand why you only have X amount of followers. Do you want some help getting more followers? Every single day. Okay, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not knocking you. If that's your business, great job. Make $1 million. That's great. I say that because I've come to the... I've been on Instagram since the day it came out. That's how old I am. I downloaded it, and then you had a Hipstamatic app, if anybody remembers that app, that took old-timey pictures. And if you had those, you were like, dang.
Hipstamatic.
I was on Instagram, and I used to be a professional photographer. So like, it was my job to do that. I've been posting content regularly on multiple platforms daily for years. I have 7,300 followers on Instagram. Now, I know it's a silly metric. I'm not saying that equates my value. I promise I'm tying this together. However, I have come to peace with the fact that real life is not sexy. And real life, people do not want to follow. And being a realist about what is actually happening today is not sexy. And what gains attention most of the time, as of today, I believe it's changing, is what's sexy. And so doing 10,000 steps a day is not sexy. Going to bed at 9:15 is not sexy. Waking up and have 30 minutes by yourself that you're not hustling, grinding, doing and doing 7,000 burpees, that you have coffee by yourself in the living room while it's quiet, is not sexy. Taking your kids to the bus stop at 7 is not sexy, right? Like thinking about it makes me emotional because you spend a lot of time and a lot of effort to build something you really believe in. And then without a really deep conviction of why it's meaningful to you, the only metrics we have out in our world that say that what you're doing is good or value are either how much money you have in your bank or what the kind of social clout you can build. Because the rest of it's not sexy. Making breakfast for your kids at 6:30 every morning, dropping them off at the bus at 7 is not sexy. Going to the office at 7 but rolling out at 3:30 to pick them up from the bus stop at 4 is not sexy. Going to gymnastics class and is not sexy. Coaching baseball team for your eight-year-old son is not sexy. Having coffee with the same group of friends every Saturday at the same coffee shop for over a decade is not sexy. Having a group in a community in your neighborhood on a Slack channel that the only purpose you have it is because it's 16 people who are dedicated to each other's lives and you know what's going on is not sexy. And the list could go on and on and on.
Hey, what's up, guys? Today's episode is brought to you by Cinch. If you're ready to take your commercial cleaning business to the next level, we have you covered. Maybe you're struggling with how to bid, how to create professional-looking proposals, or just how to ensure your customers' accounts are actually being cleaned at night. Introducing Cinch Janitorial Software. Cinch is a simple, user-friendly software that eliminates these types of struggles that you probably know all too well. Cinch simplifies your entire process and will supercharge your success because they remove paperwork headaches while creating a scalable, efficient, and profitable cleaning business. Get your free demo of Cinch at cleancinch.com. They're here to turn your business into a success story. That's cleancinch, cleancinch.com. It's simple. It's Cinch.
So, back to your point. How can I seemingly sit in most places with a really deep conviction and clarity and self-assurance about who I am? Because I'm building the life that I actually want, not the life that I think you need me to have. And I don't care if you like it. I'm not doing it for you. And it's not sexy. And no matter how many followers, to go back to our metric, we get or don't get or have or don't have, that doesn't impact my ability to love my children. It doesn't impact my ability to care for my wife. It doesn't impact my ability to be able to take care of my grandparents and help them take something they've built and turn it into a viable business before they die so they can see it. It doesn't help the fact that I spend multiple hours a week making sure that all my grandparents' bills are paid and credit cards are paid and accounts are paid and business is set up, and nobody knows that.
So question, I have a question. Because there's a lot of threads to pull from, and I love it. Because I could tell it's going to be a great, we could cut it off right now and life change. Like, here's a question, though. I don't know if I'm going to challenge or if I'm just going to get clarity here. Then why'd you get emotional? Why did, because you can't see the video, but like when you're here, obviously, right? Like, you can sense when the other person, you got emotional, the fact that the metric are a little messed up, correct? Mm. Was that where the emotion? So I just want to make sure. Maybe I misunderstood.
Yeah. Great question. No, I am not emotional that I only have 7,500 followers.
Okay.
I am emotional because I deeply believe in what I am doing.
Okay.
And I've had to come to a place to make peace that the rest of the world may not see it.
Mm.
And I may work this hard the rest of my life and nobody will ever know.
But okay, but what kind of emotion did it trigger? Is it a self-realization? Like, maybe I'm not going to make, you know, I don't know, $1 million, even though I know I have the message for the world. Like, is that what gets you emotional? Or the fact that there's going to be a lot of people that are not going to experience the life that they should experience and make the peace? That, like, is it the purpose or the mission or the hardship or the suffering that comes with the life that you've made peace with? Like, where that's where I'm trying to figure out.
I am emotional because that's how much I believe in my life.
Like it.
That's
you don't think you can have both?
I think I already have both.
Hmm.
I just don't think the rest of the world recognizes it.
Do you need the world recognition to
nope.
it? That's where I'm trying to figure out then why I get emotional. And I'm not saying in a bad way.
No, I hear you.
Talking to myself at the same time. Does that make sense?
It's
like a mirror here. You tend to have an effect on people like that.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
All the words. I'm just like, hold on. So I'm just wondering, like, was it a happy emotion? Was it a sad emotion?
I'm going to call it was an emotion.
Mm.
It was an overflowing. It was a visible expression of the internal both clarity and chaos inside of me being expressed outward for you to have a picture of the amount of tension that I have on the inside. Not tension. I do not make tension synonymous with negativity or bad.
100%. Yes.
But the amount of tension that I have on the inside of put me in a room with anyone, I will change your life. And I can't wait to go pick my kids up from school, which means I may not be in that room. And I'm always going to choose to go to the bus stop.
But you feel like there's always going to be tension because of that?
There's always tension because of it.
Mm, okay, that's where I was trying to... Okay.
You will not have everything you think you want. You will only have what you actually want.
What you actually want.
Can you say that one more time?
Maybe. That's why we're recording it.
You're like, what? Did you capture that?
You will not have everything that you want. You can have everything, though, that you actually want.
That's good.
And I believe that sometimes it's both.
Yeah.
So. I believe there is a moment, right? Like, go back to our metrics. On TikTok right now, I'm having a moment. I have a TikTok right now that's just under 1 million views. Now, most people are like, nobody cares. You're right. Guess what? No one cares. You know why? Because you know what's happened because of it? Nothing. Literally nothing in my life changed. Other than I get to say to people, hey, I have a TikTok that's almost at 1 million views. Now, here's the fallout of that. Here's the impact of that. There are 1 million. Sit in that for a second, because I sometimes can't get my head around it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's so like everybody went viral. We had a video. Everybody saw the video of the kid who fell off the bike, right? 1 million. There are 1 million people, mostly women, because TikTok was a stitch back to a lady, who heard me in my office, elbow on the desk, where I just Googled, do I stitch or do I duet? Because I don't know how TikTok works, because I'm 40. I think it's supposed to be a stitch. Great. On my For You page, I saw a video of a girl who was like, hey, can somebody tell me how to be more feminine? Because I feel like it's ruining my relationships. It's ruining who I am. I'm trying to be independent. I don't know what to do. She's emotional. I saw this video and I'm like, well, I know what I would tell you. If you were my coaching client, I know exactly what I would tell you. This is easy. Google, how to stitch, how to duet. Which one show? Oh, not a duet. I don't want to see her. Stitch. Okay. How to get to the stitch feature on TikTok. I just gave her 2.5 minutes of Rocky Garza. Not planned. Our content team didn't say Rocky replied to it. Wasn't a strategy. I just told her what I think she needed to hear. I've been doing content for a decade. Nothing has ever had more than 2,000 or 3,000 views in a decade. And the one time I just said what I feel like needed to be said to another human being that I don't know, and there is 1 million people with tens of thousands of comments and hundreds of thousands of saves and likes, because all I said was, you're not too much. Who you are is good. Remind yourself of that. I just said that on repeat for 2.5 minutes. That's the tension I'm talking about. I know the impact that is happening. I may not always get to see it the way that I want, and it may not translate in a way that everybody else gets to go, oh, that guy's awesome. But I didn't send her a message because I was hoping to go viral. I sent her a message because it was something that she needed to hear, and I was afraid nobody else was going to tell her. And so I did, no matter what it cost me. Just like my son needs to hear a message that I'm going to pick you up from the bus every day. Because nothing out there is more important than that. And the rest of the world may not see that. Most won't. But I'm not doing it for them. The same way I get on the stage at the highest level at some point in my career, and I get to talk to 10,000 people. I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it because I have an invitation in my pocket. Then I get invited to the party. And that day, the party was for Rocky Garza to show up.
Yep. Man, I love that. I love that. I think one thing that's so admirable about you, Rocky, is you really wear your heart on your sleeve, but then not only do you connect passion and deep conviction and belief to the people you're speaking to, you're also able to connect that to actionable things for them to take away. So to give the listeners context, when we were at the Moment Conference in El Paso, Texas, you were the last speaker before Andy Elliott. Andy Elliott's a great speaker.
Great speaker.
Like one of the most captivating speakers I've ever seen live.
Yep.
But we're here with Rocky Garza, not because we don't have access to Andy Elliott. We wanted Rocky Garza on our stage, not because we couldn't hire Andy Elliott.
Yeah, it's not like we can't afford it or something.
Yeah, it's because of the substance and the action that both of us actually took from what you did. And when I looked across the room, you just had this confidence and this captivated audience of people just like writing down notes, but connecting with the conviction that you're talking with, but then also taking things away, which is how we introduced ourselves, which is what you call identity mapping. So you do a really good job at blending it all together. For the people listening right now, and since you will be doing an awesome...
Well, should we introduce them? Have we even introduced them? Oh, yeah, we already introduced them.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, yeah. But like since... I mean, a lot of people listening to this will be at our conference in September. And I cannot wait for them to get the chance to meet you and get full access to you. And I think you are going to freaking love the cleaning community like none other. People are always blown away by it. Talk to me about identity mapping, what that is, and maybe start educating the audience on what maybe they could expect.
Real quick, before we jump into, because I know we're gonna go down that way. I want to say something about the whole Andy Elliott thing that you just said in the speaking. There's I learned that there's, we were talking about with another guest, that's like there's motivational speakers. It's like where the motivational speaker, they speak, they give you what you need so that you need them more. And I found that very interesting. They speak to you not so that you can grow and you don't need them, but rather they set it up to where you end up depending on their content and their words for you to feel like you're moving forward. It's like hitching a wagon to them versus, we're just talking with that guest, like you're a good example of that guest is of what we're talking about, which is like the humility of the other side of it, which is I'm not doing it so that you can buy from me, that you depend on me, but rather so that you can do it on your own.
Yeah.
So that you can do it with God. So you can do, you know, that those are the things that I'm like, that's the difference. Because you're right. I hear you speak. I didn't buy anything from you. I didn't do anything. But when I wanted other people to feel empowered, the first person we called was you. Actually, there was a situation and I called you and I was like, I don't know what's going on, but I want to keep, like, we got you for this event like a year ago. Like, I don't even know when we got this. Like, it was early.
It was very close after the moment. And the moment was July of last year. So it was like August. It was like the month after.
August of last year, we asked them to speak, and this year.
Yeah,
basically September of this year. Yeah, exactly. He's like, when's the event? And I'm like, not this year.
I think September of next year. Yeah. Here's the phrase I say, and I've begun to kick off, especially if we're doing a keynote, like the one we're going to do together. We're talking about, we call that you discovering you. But I tell individuals from the stage, from the jump, if you leave here and you know more about me than you know about you, by the time we're done, I failed you.
That was good.
Because what's the point? What's the point? Like, and again, is there a place for motivation? By all means. It's called YouTube. Go there. Find your favorite person. Like if Andy does it, let's go back to Andy. If Andy does it for you, sometimes you need to be yelled at. And if you want to be yelled at, go to YouTube.
Totally.
There's hours of Andy yelling. He doesn't really do anything but yell. But there's hours of him yelling out there. Go get it if that's what you need. Right? I heard him speak as well. And there were a couple of things. I was like, mate, my guy's right.
Yeah.
I got to start doing push-ups again. You know, like, yeah. I get it.
Yeah.
However, the framework I use for myself is motivation is when my mind needs to be kicked into gear. There's motivational speakers out there. Inspiration is when my heart needs to be kicked into gear. And there are inspirational speakers out there. Conviction is when my soul needs to change. That's where I want to live. I don't want to be your motivational speaker. I don't want to be your inspirational speaker. Do I hope that you feel inspired and motivated when we're done? By means, you do what you need. Get what you need. I want to walk away and you feel like you have a deeper conviction about who you are and what you believe about yourself, not that you look like, act like, dress like, or think like me, because that's not going to work for you because we didn't have the same life. But if I can help you find conviction about who you are and what you believe, everything about your life can change. And that's how I see myself when I look at the speaker world, the experience world, and that sort of thing. There is not currently a category for a convictional speaker yet, but if there was one, I hope my name would be at the top of that list. That's the place. That's how I view me showing up, and I'm doing an event for 10. I'm doing an executive retreat for 3 days for the C-suite that's coming from Zillow, or I'm doing a conference. We're coming to your conference. All of those places are the same. If we leave and the only thing you talk about is how great you think I was, I failed you. That doesn't change your life. I cannot change your life. You can change your life. So I need to help you change you. Not you be like me.
You know, when you say things like that, you know, when you say things like that, I don't even know that. Like, I kept getting this, like, picture in my head. Because you're right. I don't think there's a category for that. Because most of the times when they're speaking, again, we're talking about this. Most of the time when they're speaking, they're trying to get you to depend on them or buy something. Spend mm-hmm. I'm not saying you shouldn't throw an offer. You're on stage, all that.
Yep.
That's not
I
the
hear
point.
You. I hear you.
Right? You know what occupation comes to my mind when I hear you? I think there is a category. I just don't think it's a category in business.
Okay.
There's a group of people that do that, speaks on stage, bring conviction, but they seek to be forgotten and no recognition. Like priests and nuns, for example. That's what I just imagined right now, the mm-hmm. way you talk. My sister's a nun. She's like, I don't care if you know my name. All I care about is that you know that there's eternal life after. Mm-hmm. I care that when we speak, there's change of some sort, but not because of me.
That's right.
And so when you're talking about that, I was like, that's what you would call, and I don't know if you're a believer or not, but that's what that's what I call, like, yep, following Christ.
Yep.
Of that side of, like, I'm irrelevant. Who cares about me? I care about me, my family. Like, this is my
That's right.
But when I'm speaking, it's not about me.
That's right.
It's about you.
And you know, I don't know if you, I don't even know if you guys know this or not, but I, the first 10 years of my career was in full-time ministry. I was a pastor of a church for a long, a first portion of my life in my career. So,
really?
Yeah. And so kind of how I got started speaking. I mean, I was obviously teaching and preaching for daily, if you know, weekly, at least, if not daily, in my first part of my career. And then I was on pastoral staff at a church. And
why'd you get out or what happened?
Because I was an asshole.
What do you mean by that?
No, man, keep it real.
No, I like it, but I'm just like, I have so many questions.
Yeah, so take what you know about my life so far. I moved a ton.
I was 1980.
There we go. We're getting closer. So I learned very early in my life that I had been given the ability to use language and words to captivate you and get you to move in a direction that I desired. And so I spent my teens and high school and college
moving people to where you wanted, desire them to move.
And it was 100% for my purposes and what I wanted from you and what I could get from you and to make me feel good. And so then I found, went to a summer camp. It's before my senior year of college, a Christian summer camp. And I didn't grow up in church or anything. And it blew my mind. How could we, all these people are showing up and they all have the same message and they're all doing the same thing. And it was crazy. And so I was like, well, I'm pretty good with words. I was like, so what's the thing again? What's the message? What am I supposed to be reading? What chapter you want me to read? What verse you want me to read? Okay. You want me to expand on that verse? I can expand on that verse. What's the verse? Great. So here's how I see it. And I defaulted to now what I do believe is like God's given gift to me. But at the time I was defaulting to my survival mechanism had this major collision with the capacity to create emotional exchange and impact in people's life under the name of Jesus. Under who God was. And for the most part, I will say, like, I'm very good intentioned, trying to find a place to belong. My first boss, who I was like, hey, I'm so glad you're here this summer. And I'm like, thank you, I'm doing my best. He's like, I don't care what kind of job you're doing. I'm just glad you're here. Like, I think you're awesome. And I remember like walking away being like, yo, this guy is great. Who says that? You're valuable for who you are? Are you kidding me? I'm a great counselor. That's why I'm valuable, right? That begun this journey. Left that, I was at a summer camp out in East Texas, came to Dallas, I was a pastoral staff at the church. And I was there for about 3.5 years and a high school pastor and took over the working with junior high folks and then, you know, working with our college and then teaching 4 or 5 times a year, big church, if you will. And the church had grown exponentially in that time. We were about a church, about 5,000 folks. And I got offered a teaching pastor job. This was 2010, so I was 27, one tattoo. I did have hair then. So, I mean, I was like cool, young, had the kicks, you know, so one tattoo, but we love Jesus, let's go. Oh, yeah. And I got offered a teaching pastor job and they said, hey, we'll pay you a great salary. We want you to transition, teach 26 weekends a year. You got a captive audience, 5,000 people every weekend, 3 services, one on Saturday night, 2 on Sunday. I'd never been to seminary. We'll bring somebody in. We'll train you, teach you seminary. We'll pay for it. You just do your thing and teach. And I was not as self-aware as I am today. However, God was very gracious to me and I was self-aware enough to know that I loved being on stage. I loved getting an emotional response out of you. And I loved, really loved walking off stage and security standing behind me and you coming through the side door and shaking my hand and telling me how impactful it was. That's really what I loved. And that's a really shitty reason to be a pastor. Because my main purpose was to get you to like me and love me and appreciate me and believe that I was bringing something valuable to you. Because I was really good at using a passage and my words and getting you to feel something. And I wasn't as interested in you walking away knowing God better. Mm. I was interested in you loving me more. Mm. I didn't have that word that clearly then, but I had enough of it to know this is a bad idea.
Like, where did that awareness come from though? Like, did something just happen or click, or was there a situation that you're like, I might not be given the right message, even though it's a good message?
Maybe you already knew, but you just didn't want to.
I was less aware of the fact. Let me back up. The message was fire. So, yeah. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. It wasn't the message. I don't know how to describe it other than saying it just felt so dangerous. It felt so dangerous up there. I felt so powerful. I was 26, got 13, 14, 1,500 people at a time staring at me. I got my little over ear, little microphone on.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's looking at you. Play this song for me. Hey, write a special song for me. We're going to do that this weekend. And then I want you, when it comes out, put the lights down and bring the chair out with the lamp so I can sit here so we can really hone it in. All of those things independently by themselves, not bad. They're not bad. But it wasn't because I wanted you to know God. Not at the core of it. And on top of all of that, I don't know what else to give a practical reason other than saying, from my perspective, like, I also think like God is just really gracious. And I think he just loves us. And for me, I think that was just a really unique way that he showed me that he loved me, was to tell me to get out of there. Hmm. And that it wasn't it. And so I think as time has gone on, the clarity that has come from that has been, I also don't think that's where I was made to be. Not that I can't communicate about who God is to someone, because I've had lots of years of practice of doing it. But I don't think that's what God designed me for. I think my job is to go to the places where you don't expect to have to be in a position to have any sort of self-reckoning. But if I can be the person in an unassuming environment to help break away the hardness and the callousness around who you are and your soul, I don't have to also be so powerful to be the person to change the message. I just have to be the person to break away the hardness. That's what my job is. And so I spend the majority of my time, I mean, I told you guys this before, like it's a extreme honor to be able to come to an event like yours, because I don't get asked to come to, I call these open events or entrepreneur events. I don't get asked to speak at entrepreneur events. All of my career is in the corporate space. Companies pay me to come to their corporate events and speak. That's where most of my career is. Entrepreneur events, other than you two and a few others, don't like me. I don't get asked to speak there. I don't get 2 hours. I don't get, because it's not sexy. It's just real. And I'm not saying that the rest of the world is the opposite of me. I'm talking about me and only me. I'm not making a statement about anybody else. And so, one, it's a huge honor to be able to have a chance to be with a community like yours that already knows and likes you and trusts you, and then have a chance to be in front of them. So thank you for that, because it's significant. It's not lost on me. And I love being in a corporate space and a business space and going, man, I spent this morning, got to do one-on-one coaching with the CEO of a company here in Dallas. They do $122 million a year. He's 40 years old. He's 80% owner of the company. I mean, my guy drives the freshest matte black Mercedes I've ever seen in my life. Like, oh, it's so good. There are moments that I have to go, why does he want me in his corner? Of all the people this guy could talk to, my guy knows everyone. My guy knows everyone. He said, hey, can you come in every other Thursday and spend 8:30 to 9:30 with me? I know you're doing some training for us, but can I do some coaching with you? Sure. And I told him the first session, hey, man, I'm really honored to be here. I have no idea why you asked me to be here. I have no idea what I could offer you. Like, that wasn't me trying to be That's not because I don't believe that I don't belong there. It's because I need him to understand that I'm not there to fix him. I'm there to help him see what he can't. But he's going to have to change if he wants to. That's not my job.
That's exactly what a good coach does, though, is absolutely that, man. It's really powerful. What you're getting to is kind of full circle here, because it's funny, one of our guests this morning, we were talking about the pseudo-God leverage that some speakers leverage on stage to motivate or engage an audience back to them, to be self-serving. And then Angel started off this show saying, talking about those speakers and talking about how you were very much the opposite. But now kind of hearing a little bit more about your story, it sounds like once upon a time, like, I'm not saying you were spitting the wrong message, but yep, you were doing it for self-serving reasons.
100%.
Right?
I've lived a lot of my life for self-serving purposes.
Well, I think everyone has. And I think that's why you're so relatable, and you can really connect to the audience, because you're coming from a position of, hey, I'm flawed.
Right.
And this is how we fix.
Now, let me tell you this. This, I don't know where we're supposed to go with this, but it just popped up, anywhere. So I want to talk about it. I will tell you, though, it makes business very hard. It makes my business very hard, because most of us, it makes my business very hard, and it makes it grow exponentially slower than I wished. And that's a reality that I have had to come to in the last decade, because people want for me to say, you have a problem, I have a solution, and you're going to be broken until you pay me. And if you pay me, I'll fix you. That's business 101. And I'm not telling you it's bad. I'm not knocking it. Mm-hmm. I have problems, you have solutions, we pay for them. People have buildings, they don't get cleaned, we clean them, let's go. You have problems, we have solutions, let's make it happen. I get it. I know how my car runs out of gas, I get gas. I don't have groceries, I go to the store. I understand it. but I have been the central product in my business for a decade, but I'm not your answer. And to be relatable means that we do workshops where we say, I understand how we feel because sometimes we do this. But when I make me and you the same, it takes a lot longer to sell what it is I believe I can do because you don't want us to be the same. You want me to be your answer. And I'm not your answer. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so I've had to learn and come to be okay with that. My people are out there. There are clients who need me that are out there. It took 3.5 years of working the occasional event and knowing someone and coaching his wife and yada, yada, yada. And my guy who I was coaching this morning, we did it. We made it. I'm there. I'm in the room. It's so awesome. But the first time he saw me, no chance. It took me leading 3 or 4 quarterly events for his entire leadership and management team and him being emotional for 4 quarters in a row and finally making a decision that his life is not what he wanted because he's not caring for his wife or his kids the way that he wants to be, regardless of how much money he has or ownership he has in his business. It took 12 months of consistent being a part of his life and breaking down the hardness before he came to a place that says, I think I need something different. And that's not good or bad or right or wrong. I'm just telling you it's different, but it's hard because it's real and because it's honest and because it's, I'm going to change those words because I don't want to communicate that I think other types of businesses are not real or dishonest. Yeah. It's not that at all. I am not your guru. I don't want to be. I am not responsible for you and I don't want to be. I've tried and it failed miserably in a lot of places in my life. I'm not responsible for you. If we enter into a business agreement, I will gladly be accountable to providing what I said I would, and I will commit to you that I will be responsible for myself. That's all I can commit.
Chop. I love that you pay attention to words a lot because I'm very similar. Like I pay attention. I'm so glad you said, wait, hold on, not the real. Because I was thinking the same thing. And then you're like, hold on, let me. And I love because we're all like that. We're all paying attention to words. Obviously, you've been doing this for much longer than I have been doing it. But you said 2 things that I want to tackle. And I wish I had a notepad or something.
I was literally thinking the same thing. After the break, I didn't get my notepad out because I have a couple things I need to write down. I keep forgetting.
And I'm like, oh no, do I forget? My business is not growing, doesn't grow as fast as I wish it would grow because of the type of service, what it is.
Yep.
It's different.
Yep.
Okay, now I remember what the other one is, the answer. Just remember that somebody answer.
Okay.
Okay. How fast would you wish your business to actually grow? Or is that a blanket statement?
I think because of my situation I sit in today, that statement carries more weight than it would have 4 years ago. And I'll give context.
Okay.
6 months ago.
Yep.
Almost to the day.
Yep. Let's go here.
My whole life blew up. Like with a 7-minute conversation, my entire life imploded. I'd spent the last 2.5 years working alongside another organization, slowly met them, spoke at a conference for them. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then it was like, hey, I just entered into this new business partnership with this other guy. Can you coach us individually? Yep. That fast forward 6 months. Hey, can you coach us in our partnership? Yep. Hey, can you help lead our leadership team? Yep. Can you coach our leadership team? Yep. Hey, why don't you just lead the team? Okay. Hey, can you kind of be the face for what we're doing? And we would add this arm of business. Yep. Hey, why don't we start selling coaching and speaking? Because that's a part, we have mass clientele. Why don't we just bring, we'll pay you more. We'll bring that in into our umbrella. And then you give time, energy here, develop our team, lead our team, so on. Yeah, great. And at this point in time in Rocky's life, Rocky was very afraid of success. Rocky's not that afraid of failure. Because worst case scenario, I'm not homeless. I'll be all right. But I've been afraid of success for my entire life until about 6 months ago. And so I committed to being a part of this organization because I thought I can't do it by myself. I mean, I can't do it under my brand because it'll make me an asshole again. So I'll do it under your brand. So that way I just get to do me and be me and I can be safe and quiet and go back home. So 6 months ago, I get a phone call from one of the owners, CEO, thought was one of my best friends. Talked to him every day for the last 2.5 years. Families know each other, hung out together, been on trips together. He said, I need your help. I said, what's up? What's new? I was at a hotel because I was planning an event we have 2 weeks later. Doing final details is where I took the phone call. What's up? He said, I'm leaving. I need you to tell everybody on staff that today's our last day of employment. And I'm leaving my partner and I'm closing the doors of the business. I said, excuse me? Very scripted, very robotic, very. I said, okay. Everybody will be taken care of. Everybody will be paid. Everybody will be like, you know, they'll have Cobra insurance for the next 60 days. They'll sound, okay, great. I'm thinking about myself. Okay, I'm going to be good. You know, so I hang up. I think, okay, well, I've been charged to lead these people. So I go into like tactical, practical mode. I'm like, okay, what do we do with computers? How long is the email going to be up? How are you going to tell people? We got to get an email together. I call HR, call IT, call. And at this point, I'm kind of in shock, but I'm also thinking like, I mean, I guess things like this happen, but everyone's going to be fine. Everyone's going to get paid. I know how much money you owe me. And if I get that money on Friday, yo, your boy's Gucci. I'm having a great Q4. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll have to figure it out, but we'll be fine. I have not talked to that individual since that 7-minute phone call. I have not been called back. I have not had an email. I've not had a text message. At 3 o'clock Central Time, it was an Eastern company. At 3 o'clock Central Time, I'm in the parking lot of my son's school. I got on my t-shirt, my coaching whistle, my short shorts. And my
when was that again?
This was 6 months ago.
6 months ago.
And it hit me. No one's going to tell these people face to face. He's going to send an email. HR is going to send an email. He's not even going to. So I get my laptop out on my dash. And I send a Teams message to the general one. I said, I need everybody to be on in 5 minutes. And so I'm in the parking lot of my son's school with my laptop on the dash of my car, my headphones in, my whistle on. I got 15 minutes until our first soccer practice starts. And everybody hops on. And I had to look at 50 some odd people in the face and say, hey, I don't know if anyone's going to tell you, but you will not have a job tomorrow. And you're going to get an email and it's going to tell you all the steps and procedures of what to do. And I'm very sorry. And if you need anything, please let me know. I don't know if I'll be able to contact you via email tomorrow because I don't know if it's going to be up. End meeting. Put the laptop back in the backpack, get the soccer bag, go have soccer practice. Because life still happens and real life isn't sexy and real life can be difficult. And you have to keep living your real life. Spent the next 24 hours writing recommendations on LinkedIn, writing recommendation letters. I can confidently say that within 2 to 3 weeks of that date, every former employee we had was gainfully employed someplace else. Except for me and two other folks. Everybody got paid. Except for me and two other folks. And a day later, I woke up the next day and my whole life was changed. No revenue coming in, had no clients because they were all under this umbrella. Had 20 people who were going to come to an event in 2 weeks that they already bought a ticket for and paid that I had to say, I'm really sorry, the event's not happening and I don't have the money to put the event on. And so try to file a claim against your credit card and try to get your money back. And I completely started my business over 6 months ago. I say all that because when I say I wish my business would grow faster, the last 6 months has been easily one of the hardest times in my life.
I bet.
And I have never been more clear about how I will spend the next decade. I have never had more people surround me advocating for what I'm doing. I've never been more aligned with my wife on the life that we want and what we're building. I've never been as involved and had the capability to support my grandparents in what they're doing than I have in the last 6 months. I've never been more clear about asking for help than I have in the last 6 months. I've never taken as many financial risks to get people in my corner that I believe could help me as I have in the last 6 months. I don't know that it's I'm as concerned about the speed by which my business will grow. It's more that sometimes you just sit back and you look in the mirror. And you have to give yourself the ability to let two things be true at the same time that we don't want to be true at the same time. We've all heard the phrase, you know, working out is hard and being unhealthy is hard. And choose your heart. We've seen the memes or the Instagrams. I'm sure somebody out there coined the phrase. I don't know. Maybe it was the guy that did 75 Hard. Maybe he's the guy who coined it. Life is beautiful and life is wonderful and life is hard. Choose your heart. And I like it. But you know I got to put my own spin on something. So in the last 6 months, here's what I feel like I've learned. Life is hard. Life is beautiful. Life has so much joy. And life is painful. Life can be wildly fulfilling. And life can be devastating. Life can be really easy, and life can be really hard. So regardless of what today looks like, choose life. And that way, no matter what the circumstance, choose life. When it's painful, choose life. When you go back to zero, choose life. When you wish your business would grow faster, choose life. When your marriage is hard, choose life. And when you think you're getting everything that you actually want, remember that you got there because you chose life. My business will grow. I'll make more money and I'll probably lose more money. I'll get on some fun stages and I'll get denied some. I'll go on some great podcast, shout out, and I'll get denied some.
What's up, Profitable Cleaner listeners? Quick question for you. Are you using 5 to 7 different platforms just to manage the everyday operations of your commercial cleaning company? If so, let us help you consolidate that into one platform. Introducing you, USource. Go to usource.com, book your free demo today, and actually get started on your trial for 60 days. No charge for 60 days, all from time and attendance to reporting, vendor management, operations, sales. It's time you stop using 5 to 7 platforms and consolidate into one. So listeners, don't forget, go to usource.com and start your account today.
Well, I can see it, man. I can see, we kind of knew what happened 6 months ago.
We actually called you. 6 months ago. Now I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was when we heard the news.
That's right.
That we were like, I want Rob. Like, yeah. Now I want. Because we had chosen not to put you on our stage. Believe it or not. Because we were trying to do business with
I remember.
Your previous company.
Yep.
We jumped on a call and we're like, this isn't Rocky. Which is funny. We jumped on a call. We're like, this isn't it.
You know that gut this feeling you have sometimes?
Yes, I do.
And like, nothing. Everything logically is checking the boxes, but there's just something that's off.
Mm-hmm. We ended up paying double to another company.
Yeah,
we're gonna do because we're like something's
just
off.
Not right. Something's just not right. And we were active buyers.
Yep.
Like, hey, take our freaking money.
Yep.
Just sell me.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or just show me where to sign.
Yep.
And something just wasn't right. And then we saw the news,
That we called you 2 weeks. Now yep. I remember.
Yep. I was like,
"Hey, I'm
honestly,
gonna call.
I was
We're
so impressed. I was so impressed with like that crew when I met you guys in El Paso. Yep. So much so, I referenced you guys in the opening statement at our event.
Yep.
About how someone, a team that carries a statement, because mm-hmm. I thought you guys carried a statement, mm-hmm. which I've now learned is
it's
led
your
by
statement.
You.
Yeah, exactly.
So fast forward, then I found this whole Reddit thread.
Yep.
I don't know if you're aware of this, of all of that.
There's a lot.
With that
there's
being said, man, I saw your grind, right? And a lot of people can talk words for status, but then not back it up with action, especially when that hard does hit. Mm. And so I judge a lot of characters based on action when things are not going right, starting with myself. And then also starting with maybe it's our competition or our peers. When I see shit go really bad in people's life and they fall to the lowest form of themselves, what do they do? Mm. And although like we don't really know each other on like a true intimate friendship level, you're very visible. Mm. Even with your 7,500 followers, I'm one of them. You're very visible.
Woo.
And let's get him to 8,000 after this episode. And dude, I saw you start hitting it. I started getting the Rocky Garza newsletter. I was like, okay. All of a sudden, Angel's like, hey, we got to get Rocky. We're like,
you know what's interesting about that though?
So weird.
We knew your heart. I feel like we don't know you, but we know you. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. You know when you just know somebody's heart since we met you. And I remember Ruben bragging about you, and I was like, I don't know, man. I hear a lot of these speakers, and then I heard your lunch session, then I heard the other session, and I was like, all right, well, I don't know who he is, but I love it. And yeah, we saw those posts and I called James and we're like,
something's going on.
And then we got the Reddits and we got the news. And then he's like,
the Instagram profile mm-hmm. for the company went dark.
Yep.
Yeah. The other guy was selling us disappeared. And then he called, well, I was like, I want Rocky now. Cause like now I feel good. Now I can hire Rocky, not everyone.
Yep.
So he hired you. And then he calls me like 2 weeks later. And then he's like, I want to hire Rocky too. We're partners, just so we're very clear here.
Yeah.
So we doubled hierarchy. So it's, but that's because we saw your heart and what you were doing. I know we're coming into the break here, but can I challenge you on something?
Sure.
Dude, I feel like I can't challenge him on
stuff.
Yeah,
please do.
It's just weird because I'm like, it's Rocky.
Well, please challenge me.
Because we have like two wordsmiths here that are really good with words. You guys are both good on stage. You guys are both great with people. And you guys are both challengers.
Do it. Please do. That's why I'm here.
It's kind of like you.
But guys. It's weird, dude. It's like fangirling, though, because I've been seeing your content like so deep. We don't talk, bro. I would just call you to, hey, I need to speak. Here's the podcast.
Yeah,
here's the address.
I feel like we have very efficient communication. Hey, where are you? 2:30? That works.
Dude, and
I'll get an email. All right, bye.
And I never like text him anything. I'm just like, phone? And then he's like, yes. Yeah. I'll call. And I'm like, this. Awesome. And then we hang up. Okay, this is fun. I like this.
Thank you. I love this.
You said a few words. First one, in the beginning, you said, people want me to be the answer. Mm. I think you can be the answer, just so we're very clear. It just depends what question you're trying you're asking. And I think people are asking, can you fix my problems? Can't be that answer.
Yep.
But could you be my corner man?
Yep, 100%.
Then yes.
Yep.
And so I think just reshifting that question is important. Then you said right now, starting from zero.
Mm-hmm.
It depends what the measuring stick is.
Yeah, I was started back from zero in my ability to generate revenue.
Okay,
I started at 39 and a half years based on experience.
Yeah.
Which I think is I'm really glad you pointed that out, for especially for folks that are listening.
Yeah.
Because I think we have a phrase we're testing with now. So if this resonates with you, DM me and tell me you like it. But a phrase called live in the continue. And I think the last 6 months for me has been this like, hey, there's this value in living in the continue.
Yes.
Did my bank account go to zero? Yes. 100%. Did Rocky go to zero? No, there's no such thing. It's impossible, right? I go back to the 10,000 steps thing. My goal is to walk 10,000 steps every day. If I don't do that today, tomorrow I don't start over. It doesn't reset. The overarching goal doesn't reset. My goal for the year is to do 10,000 steps every day as often as I can, right? To live in the continue means if I get a day that's 8,000, the next day when I go to sleep and I wake up, guess what? I get a chance to do 10,000 again because the goal is daily. It's a daily goal. It's not an annual goal. It's not how long of a streak I can have. And I think oftentimes we take these things we want in our present life, we turn them into streaks, we miss a day, and we call ourselves a failure.
100%.
No, you live in the continue. Life, a life well lived is a life lived in the continue, right now, right here. And so why? How did we go from, you know, nothing to, I don't know, do we talk about money on this podcast? Yeah. We talk about profit and revenue? Like, how do we go from no revenue to generating $25,000 of reoccurring revenue in 6 months? Well, because we didn't start over. We had to just get back to the root of what we were really about. And then we had to build an actual functional system that could establish coaching and it could really get people to where they wanted to be and could, that's how we do it. I didn't go back to the speaking game and go, I got to go back to charging $1,000 again to speak. No, like we go to the corporate space to speak, found two agents. I have agents that work with me. They rep me. We go to corporate stages. We go to Zillow. It's $15,000. You want me to come and speak? That's what our speaker fee is. We don't start at zero. My bank account went to zero. Your bank account, if you're listening, may be a zero. You may be taking a huge risk and you're going to put everything into it. Job transition, entrepreneurship, small business ownership, pick a category. Life is lived in the continue. I came into reestablishing my business with a decade's worth of experience as a speaker and a coach and consultant. We were just going to reframe it in a way that was actually scalable and doable this time.
I'm glad you explained that. And I'm glad I asked that because as soon as I heard the zero, I was like, I don't agree with that.
Yep.
Now I understand.
Yep.
What you meant by that.
Yeah. Revenue is a zero.
Yeah. Here's a question. Were you the salesperson at the other company?
I was a lot of things at the other company.
But were you the closer?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because you said you were at zero at generating revenue. My question is, would you technically have always been at zero in generating revenue because you weren't the one closing the deals? You were leading.
I think I would say, maybe back up, from a personal, not a professional perspective, I no longer had income being generated that was being deposited into my account.
Yeah. No, but the reason I say that, though, the reason I said that is not because I agree with the income coming in part, but I feel like you were at zero at a skill that, or like a new area that you were not doing it, and now you get to build that one to 100. Like now you're going to learn how to do
that,
magic.
That part, 100, because I'll tell you.
Like, and that's a good survival skill to have when you can turn nothing into 15 grand.
And
listen,
and my coach, I work with a coach right now, and like it's the one thing that I like. She pushes me, and her team pushes me on. They're like, "Hey, I know." And she's a freaking master closer, sales. It's so good, and I hate it. I hate doing sales calls with people for coaching. I hate it because I feel like I have not learned the skills to allow myself not to feel too close to it. Because I feel like I'm getting you to say yes to buying me, because you are. You're buying time with me, and I hate it. I feel like I can get you to the edge, and I want to pass you off to somebody else and then get them to close you, and then you show up on the first call. Let's go. But I know it's a skill that I need to practice. Well, and so like right now.
And they never buy you.
Your boy just gets on the call, and I just get my script out, and I practice.
Yeah.
I just need the reps.
One of my mentors, and we'll go to break here, but one of my mentors, because I know, I could talk with you for like 5 hours probably. One of my mentors said, sales is getting people to do something that they wouldn't do for themselves otherwise.
Mm.
Love that.
So they're not buying, like, and I used to struggle too. And I was like, so they're not buying you. They're actually finally saying yes to them.
Mm.
Every time there's a transaction, as long as the product's good, right?
Like, sure.
As long as there's a transaction,
the
card is not, I'm down, I trust you to, that's the answer.
Yeah.
No, I trust that I now have the skill set or the willpower to do something for myself.
100%.
Mm. That's when he said that, I was like, let's go close some deals. Cause it's now you're voting on yourself.
That's
not
right.
Me. I have nothing to do.
That's right.
Close on.
I already have a proven system. Exactly. You want to be a part of the system or not?
Exactly.
Yeah, where's my paper at right now? And for that, folks, we're going to break.
All right. Okay. Perfect. So to go back to James's question.
Yes.
What is identity mapping?
Great question. So over the course of the last decade, one thing that I've found to be true is that I've never met an individual before that doesn't desire to be understood. I've never met someone who's like, hey, do you wish somebody understood you better? I've never met someone who's like, screw it. Never mind. Like everybody wants that. I think for a long time, however, we have this innate desire to be understood and we put all of the weight on the person who we're talking to and it makes it their fault. However, let's change up our words. The reason you are not understood is because you are not communicating who you are in a way that is understandable. It is not my fault I don't understand you. I don't understand you because you're not communicating to me in a way that's understandable. What prevents us from communicating in a way that's understandable? We are illiterate. We lack the words and the language to describe the innate thing we feel inside and how to communicate that externally. Identity mapping was created as a mechanism, as a self-assessment that I walk you through to give you a language for who you are, why you do what you do, how you do it, and what you do as a human so that you have the capacity. Let's go back to the very beginning. This is a part we'll cut, we'll edit, we'll clip in our intro again. I'm a challenger, a truth teller, and a trusted guide. We call those identifiers. That's the final part of identity mapping, where the language came from. Why do we even introduce ourselves that way in the beginning? It's because we collectively have a way we can communicate to each other in a way that's understandable. So we immediately are understood because I know what you're saying because I know who you are, right? Identity mapping takes one part. We call it the upside down. It gives you the capacity to understand how your brain works as a natural human being and to flip it into the upside down to begin to think in a way that is not reactive but proactive. Every human being is reactive. It's how we have survived. However, building a life you actually want requires proactivity. Building a life that's fine is reactive. Building a life you actually want is proactive. How do we get there? How do we do that? Well, I can't tell you yet. You'll have to come to the event. But Boom. That's called the upside down. That leads into our core values, which are why we do what we do. The reason, intention, motivation behind everything we choose is based on our core values. Most of your relational conflict, by the way, for those of you that are listening that are in conflict in your relationships, it is not that you did something wrong. It's that you don't know what it is that you're doing and how it affects the values of the person that you love most. And so you fight over the trash, and the trash is not the issue. It's that you look at your spouse, your partner, your husband, your wife every single day, and you say, who you are and what you want is not valuable to me. I'm valuable to me. And when I'm done, I will get to you, including the trash. We'll talk about that more later. Then we go into strengths. Strengths is how you do what you do. Not what you do, but how. Your strengths are your muscles. One misconception, specifically in the professional world, we talk about our strengths, right? Well, what are my strengths? My strengths are what I do. No, they are not. Your strengths are how you human. They're how you do everything. Example, I say, hey, what's one of your strengths? You say, my arms. I say, great. What do you do? You do not respond with armsing. That doesn't make any sense. But when we use our strengths as the action, as opposed to the mechanism, we get confused. Again, strengths are how you operate. I've been a summer camp director. I've been a pastor. I've been a wedding photographer, a coach, a consultant, a COO. I've had a lot of positions in my life. How I did those were all exactly the same. Yes, how I coach and speak is exactly how I was a wedding photographer. It's how I operate. What I did, however, is very different. We get to identifiers. Identifiers are a language for what we do as a human being. Challenger. Strategizer, analyzer, truth teller. It's an actionable language. Imagine going to a networking event. Hey, I'm Rocky. Hey, I'm James. Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. The very next question out of our mouth is, what do you do? And then we all say something that no one cares about. We say, I'm in solar. Okay, bad idea. It's not good. Solar doesn't mean anything. Well, what are you actually trying to ask? I want to know, what do you do as a human being? Can you imagine going to a network event, right? Think about your identifiers. Hey, nice to meet you. Nice. I'm Rocky. I'm Angel. Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. Really, what do you do? Tell me your three identifiers.
Well, I say I'm a man of God, challenger, connector, and provider.
And all of a sudden, two things happen. Either I go, this is very weird, and I walk away, or I go, tell me about that. And now I'm engaged in who you are as a human, as opposed to being engaged in the fact that I think that I could sell you something and get a profit.
Would you say that also helps you filter out people that aren't actually interested in you as a person?
100%.
What you, okay.
100%. So identifiers is the last part. We take all that information, we put it together, we build it into a map. Values on the left, strengths on the right, identifiers in the middle. You have 13 words that describe who you are as an individual. Based on your values, there's a 1 in 50 million chance anybody picks the same 5 as you and puts them in the same order. Your strengths, there's a 1 in 34 million chance. Your identifiers, there's a 1 in a million. You take those three statistics and put those together. It is mathematically impossible, solely based on 13 words in a piece of paper, that anybody in the world who is alive or currently or previously been alive has the capacity to choose the same 13 words as you and put them in the same order. No account, no physical attributes, no experience, no life experience, solely based on 13 words, it is impossible for there to be anybody in the world. Those are the actual odds.
Because of the number of manifestations that there could be?
That's right.
What?
And just based on that, it is impossible for there to be anyone in the world like you. It is not that you don't have the capacity to be understood. It's that you lack the words and the language to communicate in a way that's understandable.
Dude, I've been through this training. That's the crazy part. And I'm still, I feel like I just heard it for the first time.
Well,
I know that I'm not the same person that saw the first training now that I am right now.
100%. I ask the first four questions when we go through the upside down, I ask myself those questions every quarter.
Wow.
Every 90 days. Just to see, am I still thinking about the same thing? Do I still want the same thing? Do I still have the same language? Does it still make sense to me?
So your identifiers have changed over the
years? My identifiers have changed slightly.
Okay.
My values, slightly. Strengths, very, very slightly. But the change is one, number four becomes number two and number two becomes number six, right? We're talking about incremental changes here.
Yeah.
People get caught up in that. Well, I don't have my values because what if they change? And then I'm going to, okay, we've already lost you. So come back home. Just pick five words. And I'm not trying to distill who somebody is down into five words. That would be foolish.
Yeah.
I'm trying to give you a language to start with. Identity mapping gives you the capacity to know who you are. We say it gives you the clearest language for who you are as a human being you've ever had.
Does identity mapping help you create your priority?
Identity mapping helps you in every facet of your life because it is a central language for who you are as a human and tells you why you do things, how you do things, and what you do everywhere. Part of the reason many of you are procrastinators is because you don't know why you're doing it. It's not what you're doing.
Totally. You actually, just that 60-minute talk that you gave in El Paso when we did identity mapping, and then I was fortunate enough to get four more hours with you back in December. One of my identifiers is a provider. Mm. And lately I've been in a huge driver's seat of providing and have gotten some like shit from like the outside world for it.
Yep.
And it's been like, no, it's okay. Cause that's who
right.
I am.
That's right.
It doesn't matter. Like that's unapologetically, right. Like confident that I'm doing the right thing.
That's right. And that's the beauty of identity mapping is we want you to create a language for yourself. You took the words out of my mouth that you can be unapologetic about. And being unapologetic doesn't mean I do what I want it to hurt you so I don't have to apologize. It means that I'm not going to apologize in the beginning for being who I actually am.
Yes.
Very different things, right? Being a jerk and being unapologetic are not synonymous. Being a jerk means that I'm going to do what I want and I don't care how it affects you. Being unapologetic says, I'm going to be exactly who I am so that I know the effect I'm going to have on you.
Boom, boom. Say that again, please.
I don't know if I can.
Damn. I know. And that's why.
That's how it happens.
Hey,
that's
let's
how
it just happens. That's going to be my new ringtone. That's a good, dude. That's a good line. That's. Let me ask you for a favor.
Okay.
Because I think it's hard when you try to explain Rocky's talk to somebody when they've never been through it. I agree. It's, it can be hard.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you do me a favor and look at the camera and tell people what you're gonna do when you're at an event? Because you're the new blood that we're bringing to the event, and you're the.
And we have how much time do we have? 2 hours.
Right now.
No. Oh. Like at the event.
I was like, what?
Yeah, 2 hours.
Two hours. Yeah. Okay. All right. The reality is that most of you have been to many conferences. You have been to places where you've seen speakers. You've got 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 minutes. At the most aggressive, you've been given 60 minutes to attain information from someone, hopefully to be able to figure out how to apply that to your life. We're going to spend 2 hours together. Now, I know you might be thinking, Rocky, we're going to spend 2 hours together on the stage. You're going to talk to me for 2 hours. No, I'm not going to talk to you for 2 hours. I'm going to be your guide for 2 hours. I'm going to take you through a process to give you the ability to identify the language about who you are as an individual, the capacity to be able to say, what do I think about? What do I fear? What do I really want in life? And what's the life that I actually want to live? And what's impeding me from doing that? 2 hours. When is the last time that you spent 2 hours uninterrupted doing nothing but assessing who you were, what that meant, and why that mattered? The reality is that most of us can say we haven't ever, or at least not recently. You simply showing up to the event, being fully present, putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, and giving you, not me, because I'm going to go for 2 hours either way. Give yourself 2 hours uninterrupted to discover a language about who you are, and I guarantee you that you will walk away and your life will be changed. Not because I have the answer for you, because I'm the guide to walk you through finding the answer inside that you've been feeling for the last decade. You've just simply lacked the words to know how to describe.
And now you understand why we're bringing them. Now you get it. So I need you to do yourself a favor. Get a ticket because you're invited. So you're invited to the party, man. Let's change some lives, brother. Thank
Can't
you
wait.
So much.
Appreciate
for being
you guys
a
so much.
Cleaner
Appreciate
podcast, brother.
Thank you.
God bless. And that way he don't play like no way. So I gotta get out of